There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Man, did this dude just did this?
With the 20th pick in the 2016 NBA Draft, the Indiana Pacers select Caris LeVert from the University of Michigan.
The problem is you don't want to mess with a bat because, as you may know, they can be ratted.
But there goes Artest after somebody in the stands. And he is going after a fan, and he is waylaying a fan, and this thing is now getting ugly.
Got them all?
Justin Holliday has come in all three.
Do we have them all?
He did first time in NBA history that three brothers on the floor at the same time.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Born Ready to Pod Podcast. Bet online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action in 2021 and beyond. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. Bet online even covers award shows, TV shows, and reality TV. That's huge for me as a Survivor fan, and season 41 coming out soon. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website and use our mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. 50% of whatever you put in, you get bonus. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. I got an important ad read here for anybody that wears shoes. I mean, they're kind of important. From rare dead stock to the latest release, you can find the exact sneaker you're looking for on eBay. As the original sneaker marketplace, eBay is the place to go to cop the pair you've been eyeing. And with eBay's authenticity guarantee, a team of independent professional authenticators perform a rigorous inspection on the sneakers you purchase before they're sent to you, so you can shop confidently knowing your pair is the real deal. And for the sneaker sellers out there, eBay has eliminated their selling fees on sneakers over $100, making it free to sell or flip your collection. That's right, free. No fees at all. With other sites taking as much as 25%, you're going to have a lot of extra money left over for more sneakers. Check out ebay.com/sneakers today.
Welcome back to another episode of the Born Ready to Pod podcast. Tonight's a very special edition episode. Not really going to get so much, in my opinion, into the shitstorm of the Pacers games from the last couple weeks. But we have a guest on the show here tonight, joining Hawk and myself. Jake is out tonight. He kind of went on a Twitter rampage last night, so I think he's taking a night off. So tonight, to take his place here for the beginning of the show, he asked us to come on, and he needed to rant. So we definitely we're glad to have him. So Jeremy W. Miller, we have him here on the show. He's here to rant. I don't know what he wants to rant about, but he said he's got to get some things off his chest. So Hawk, before he starts, I'll let you chime in. What do you think we're about to hear in the next, 10, 15 minutes from this guy?
Well, I mean, we have the same record as the Bulls. I think the Knicks have a better record than us at that point. The Hoosiers are absolute dog shit. So we were talking a little bit before we started recording. I don't know where this is going to go either. And I can't wait because we're so bad. We just need to, someone to tell us the truth and tell it how it is. Stop telling us it's going to be okay. I just want to know what's really going on. And I think this is the guy that'll do it.
All right, W, the floor is yours.
Well, boys, thank you for having me on, and been enjoying being on Twitter with you guys during the games, and that's been about it. First thing I would like to address is the people that are calling for Bjorken's head. You're nuts. Our roster sucks. It wouldn't matter if John Wooden come out of the grave and come back to coaches. This team would be dog shit, yeah. Period. And y'all know my feelings on Miles Turner. And I eased up on Miles there for a little bit, but I'm officially done with Miles Turner completely and totally. I don't want to hear about how many shots the dude blocks a game. I don't care. He can't defend. He's a shitty on-ball defender. He's more than useless offensively. What is he shooting? 30-some percent for three? Big deal. I don't care. He's weak. He gets abused by everybody. And last night, he got abused in a tragic, tragic way. And I was so glad to see Embiid actually called it out for what it was today. He's like, yeah, I've dominated that dude since I come into the league. Turner is terrible. And the other thing that bothers me more than anything is Quinn, Chris, the Pacers, Turner's fanboys, everybody makes excuses for him over and over and over again. It's like they're trying to force feed down our throat that he is actually worth a shit. And what I'm seeing on the floor is not really happening. I'm sorry. Everybody needs to wake up, realize he is what he is, ain't going to be no better, and it's time to move him. I said something last night on Twitter to Rhett Bauer. I don't even know who he is. He's like, well, who are you going to trade him for? And I said, I'd trade him for any athletic wing at this point. Well, it's hard to trade for an athletic wing when you've got a center. Then trade him for draft picks. I don't care. But this team, as it is currently comprised, will compete for absolutely nothing. And we've seen that over the last three or four games.
Yeah, and in the playoffs over the last three or four seasons. I mean, there was a point this year, like you said, where we were not giving Miles as much gripe as he probably deserved. But, I mean, when you're winning – and he had some decent games, but at the end of the day, we know what he is time and time again. He's just average guy that can block shots. And when you have Sabonis, you don't really want that to pair with him at all.
No. And are you guys in agreement with that? Or am I just the cranky old man that has never liked Miles Turner? Are people starting to see what he truly is? And to be honest, the best deal we could have got for him would have been Hayward. It would have been. If that would have went through, that would have been the best case scenario for us. I don't know what we get in return for Miles Turner. Who the hell is clamoring for a dude that can block 3.5 shots a game and give you 3 boards and 8 points offensively? I mean, serious. And don't tell me it's the system. I don't give a shit what system you put him in. He's an underperformer and he's an underachiever. He always has been. He always will be. You guys remember what the big thing was with him coming out of the draft too? And I'm seeing it more and more every time I watch the game. His feet.
Yeah.
Dude's got bad feet. Runs down the floor and looks like a baby deer on ice skates, dude. He is one bad step away from breaking one of those big clubs of his and being down and out over there with LeVert and Warren and everybody else that's injured. It is time to move him. He is baby shit soft, period. End of story.
I would say on my end, I'm not as low as him, definitely as you are. And I understand you've had your back and forth with him throughout the year. So I completely get what you're going or coming from. I would say maybe his biggest fault is, I think from like people on Twitter, and as you said, you know, the broadcast and everything kind of like that, I think people have put such lofty expectations on him. Like he's going to be, you know, the next star of the Indiana Pacers. And that's not who he is. And that's no fault of his own. I think he's, you know, he's a solid player in the NBA. He's a solid role player on a good team, I believe. But I think people put these expectations on him. Like he's going to be, you know, a one or two on a team, and that's certainly not the case. So I think that's part of it. There is people, you know, look at him like he's got the potential to be a number one or number two guy, and that's just not what he is. And then the other thing too, I think is, I mean, definitely on this team, you know, with the two centers, I completely understand that it's just not working. And for those who, you know, go back and forth trying to pick between the two, I think it's pretty obvious that Sabonis is the guy that you would build your future around. And I don't really understand why you would pick the other way. So I don't have my pitchforks and dying to have Turner dealt or anything like that, but I know exactly what you're saying. You know, just based on, you know, the way things are played in the NBA nowadays, two centers isn't going to work at the same time. And we've seen that. So, definitely, I'm not all in on the Turner hatred But I get the points that you're making for sure.
And it's the inconsistency too. He's just so inconsistent.
Yeah. I'm not saying I hate the guy. I'm sure he's an okay person. He just is not a great basketball player, period. And to your point, yes, they built him up. And I blame Larry Bird for building him up to be the next be-all, end-all Indiana Pacer. Bird's been gone for a while, boys. Okay? Mm-hmm. That ship sailed. It's time for everybody to take a look and see what you got. And for anybody out there on Twitter who says, well, Sabonis should go before Turner, that's absolutely insane. Yeah. I mean, and these are the same idiots that just preach analytics this, numbers this. Go look at a stat line, people. I mean, it doesn't pass the eye test either. Anybody who watches the game objectively can see that Sabonis he's the best player on the Pacers right now, period. And we need to build around him. And it's like I said last night when I texted you guys, everybody's on the table as far as I'm concerned. I'm thoroughly disappointed with the growth of Aaron Holiday.
Yeah.
I mean, he is a turnover machine, dude. Absolutely. So, bright spot, McConnell. McConnell gives you that effort, that hustle. He's the only dog, I would say, on our team. That's the one thing we lack more than anything is just toughness, mental toughness, on the floor toughness. I mean, back when the Pacers were good, you had an enforcer type person. You had a Dale Davis, an Antonio Davis. Hell, nobody gave Rick Smits any shit. But there's not one dude on the Pacers that I see getting into a squab about anything. Maybe TJ Warren, but I honestly don't think he's going to play again this year. I mean, we've got a bunch of nice guys, but that doesn't translate into winning basketball, period. And I think the Pacers were so – they wanted to get so away from that thuggish period where we had the brawl and Tinsley got caught with the AK-47 in front of the Conrad and all that other stuff that we've went just completely and totally vanilla, and we have nobody that has any passion there at all. I did see Domas, and I don't know if you guys noticed it the other night, at the end of the Knicks game, I believe it was, he got really pissed when there was a bad pass made in to him and he ended up having to foul the guy to get him, to keep him from getting a fast break. We're starting to see some frustration from Sabonis, and I like seeing that he cares, but it also worries me that he's going to be the next star that's going to want to say, I want the hell out of here unless you're going to get me some help.
Yeah. I could see that.
Yeah. So, you know, hit it on there, things that you don't like. And I have another topic here I want to get your take on. But before then, anything positive in your mind right now on this team? Any, you know, anything you've actually liked from what you've seen? Take the last 2 weeks out of it. You know, obviously there's, as you know, short-term memory-wise, we don't like anything right now at the time being. Is there anything that you've actually liked?
I've liked the fact that we've gotten McDermott more involved. I love the way that dude moves without the ball. I think him and Sabonis, the two-man game, is nice. Justin Holiday has really shot the ball pretty well for us. Warren was good in February, but my worry about not Warren but Brogdon, he was good in February.
Yeah,
I worry about the amount of minutes that we're putting on all these guys, especially him being injury prone.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? And I would like to see Brogdon take more of that leadership role, especially since Vic is gone. And we can talk about that, too, if you want to, because I got issues with Vic. But,
let's just go ahead and let's air those out. So, you know. There's more news about him about turning down another extension from the Rockets. They offered him like 2 years, $46 million, something like that. And he turned that down. And now there's reports that he has his eyes set on Miami, which is what we've heard pretty much for the last year and a half or 2 years or so. So your thoughts on Oladipo? you know, how it played out with the Pacers and how it's going now.
I was completely and totally disgusted with how Oladipo handled that entire thing. The state of Indiana stood behind him. He got injured. We brought him back. It was a great feel-good deal. And then COVID happened and everything else. And then you hear this shit about him playing down there in the bubble, telling them guys on Miami he wants to play with them. The whole whatever singer deal that he did. What the hell was that called?
Mass singer.
Yeah, the Mass Singer, all that shit. He wasn't serious. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he wasn't.
You didn't see Jordan out there doing the Mass Singer, did you? And yeah. He wants to be one of the best in the NBA there ever was, and he's out doing that shit. And then we find out later that the Pacers offered him an extension, and they was going to give him a max deal, wasn't they? And he said he wouldn't stay for it.
I don't think it was a max deal, but it was based on the injury he just had. It was a decent amount of money. So he was either banking on getting paid for, you know, four more years at like $25 million, or he was going to, you know, risk it and his injury never, you know, fully healed. So it wasn't a max, but it was up there based on what just happened to him.
Well, I wanted him gone before the start of this season because I thought he was going to be a cancer to the locker room. And I stated that several times on Twitter, and everybody's like, "Oh, the Depot, we all love Victor." Whatever, dude, you don't do that to a team. You don't. And I could give a shit less what he does the rest of his NBA career. He can go down there to Miami and stick his head up Jimmy Butler's ass if he wants to. It does not matter to me one bit. And I give some idiot today on Twitter said, "Oh, it's time to get rid of Pritchard." Dude, I give Pritchard props for dumping that cancer and picking up LeVert. You know, thank God LeVert, they found his cancer deal and they took care of it. And he's going to be back on the floor again. To me, that was a win-win. We got rid of a problem and we brought in what I feel like is going to be a pretty good player for the Pacers. But Victor's time in Indiana, I just want to forget that it was ever even here, about like PG. They're right up there in the same category for me. And I'm an IU fan. So, I mean, I cheered for Victor when he was down there at Bloomington, but he's dead to me now, boys. So piss on Victor Oladipo. I said it.
But you're excited. You know, I think the Pacers definitely got the best, you know, the best offer they could get there, bringing in LeVert, you know, swooping in that James Harden deal. So LeVert, he's not, you know, he's not a superstar, but he's a solid player. I think he's still got a lot of potential. He's still very young. So he played at Michigan there for several years. Pacers drafted and ended up trading him with Thad Young. So he comes back. So are you, what are you looking from LeVert, you know, joining this team? Are you excited about him, you know, possibly playing sometime this month?
Yeah, I think we're going to see LeVert. I honestly don't think we'll see TJ Warren this year. I don't either. And they're not going to tell anybody that, but let's be realistic, boys. This season's in the shitter. I'd make sure he got 100% healthy because I do think TJ Warren is a stud. I think he's a walking bucket. He's proved to us that he will play some defense. There's no doubt we miss him and we're missing LeVert, but those are not going to cure our on-ball defensive issues, our absolutely getting abused on the boards issues that we currently have. That is a personnel problem that is only changed through roster changes, period. Yeah. End of story. I don't give a shit what anybody says. We're not going to compete with this roster as it is currently constructed. And there's going to have to be some guys that people like that are going to have to go because they just don't fit. If it doesn't fit, it doesn't work. So, and I'm not ready to run Bjorken out of town because he was left with a shitty roster with two of the main guys that are injured. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
Well, yeah, and you're changing systems. So McMillan had a lot more success because, you know, with this roster, because he played more slow paced, you know, 90s basketball, dribble the ball into the ground for 20 seconds and take a bad shot or mid-range shot. And, you know, that's not the way Bjorken wants to play. And it's hard for him because, with Turner and Sabonis, he's playing them both starting together. So it's just this roster, and there's no shooting. There's really no shooting on this team. So this roster is not built to his strengths as a coach, in my opinion.
No, I don't think it's built to the way he wants to coach us. I mean, yeah. I think he's wanting to develop a little bit more of a modern game, but you ain't going to do it with the players that we've got now, period. We need a stretch four athletic wing that can shoot the jumper and can defend the three. You know what I mean? And
yep.
We don't have it on this roster, and I don't know where we go get it. I mean, do you guys have any thoughts?
I mean, it's going to be tough because, I mean, free agent wise, I don't know what they can really do. So they'd have to do a deal where, and we're going to talk about that, I think sometime in the next couple of weeks is our trade scenarios, but they'd have to package, you know, something like Turner, maybe Jeremy Lamb or something like that for a player like that. I believe Jeremy Lamb, I think, is a solid player, but he doesn't play a lick of defense. I think he's a good guy. You know, he can really score the basketball and, you know, at times, sometimes he's inconsistent. So I think it would take, you know, Miles in a deal and then, you know, something, maybe you could flip Jeremy Lamb for something, but, I don't know. I don't think that player is going to come in free agency. I think they'd have to get that player via trade.
Yeah. You'd have to get a disgruntled guy out, and really Miles Turner is the one guy you'd hope to use as trade bait. But like you said, I don't know how greatest trade value is right now. So you'd probably have to swing for the fences on a younger guy like Pritchard's done before. The thing is, I've always trust Pritchard making moves. It's just right now I wish he'd make a few more. You know, that's what we're sitting on.
Yeah, absolutely. I was pissed that we decided to run it back and weren't more aggressive in the offseason anyhow. But
yeah.
I mean, I think he knew this Victor deal. I think they knew all along that was going to happen at the start of the year. You know what I mean?
I agree.
And I'm all for, I like the fly guy, Lamb. I do, but you're right. He don't play a stitch of defense. And there's one time last night, Embiid was coming down the lane there, and all he had to do was stand there and he could have got a charge. And yeah, he got the hell out of the way. There's a lot of Pacers that did that last night. And me as an old school basketball guy, I want to see you step in there and take a charge. I don't give a shit if he's bigger than you or not. You know what I mean? God, be a man. We just ain't got no dogs on this team, dude. That's all there is to it. We don't. Nobody's got any nuts. Everybody's neutered. It's
there's
tragic.
A problem with that throughout the NBA, I'd say. But that just makes you appreciate guys like Jimmy Butler so much more because they're a dime a dozen – or they're not a dime a dozen, I should say. And, you know, just that tenacity, T.J. McConnell, Lance Stephenson. If you can get a guy like that on your team, it just makes it so much more fun and exciting because – people buy in. The energy is there. Like, it's just, I agree. Last night was the most embarrassing loss of the season, and I didn't even watch the fourth quarter because I just couldn't. You know, it's just disgusting.
What is Lance doing? Does anybody know?
He's not playing overseas right now. So I think he's back home here, not in Indiana. He's probably in New York, but I think he's training. So I know that he tried to enter the G League draft. And he wasn't selected, but that wasn't because he wasn't good enough. It was because none of the veterans got taken in that draft. So he tried to play in the G League.
Well, if I was Pritchard, I would pick up the phone and I would call that dude just so he doesn't lose the rest of the fan base completely, because we need something to motivate us, period. Yeah. I mean, because it's just – it is – and I like Brogdon, I do, but he ain't – he's not a leader. He's not a dog. You know what I mean? You got to have somebody who's going to spark, to give you a spark. And I think McConnell's about the only one that gives us any kind of spark. And
yeah,
that's McConnell can only do so much. He can only steal so many inbounds passes a game to get us all cranked up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm really, I'm just bummed out. We go from the four seed to out of the playoffs, and now I'm ready to pack it up, pack it in, and see what the hell there is in the draft, honestly.
Yeah, and I mean, the Pacers have never, you know, I'm not giving up on the season yet, but if you do look at the month of March, it's very scary to look at the upcoming schedule and how things could play out. So if they get a certain number of games under 500, I think that's when you have to have that conversation, especially with TJ Warren. No need to rush him back. Really no reason to rush him back now, because I mean, you're dealing with the Brooklyn Nets in the East at this point, and there's no way the Pacers, even if they made it to a conference finals, which won't happen, there's no way they beat that team in a 7-game series. And so there's no chance for the Pacers to make it out of the East this year or make a playoff run. So now's the time. If you want to get healthy and you know, get some guys some rest and things like that, now's the time to go for that, you know, top 10 pick. But also on the same, you know, the other side of the coin is the way this team is drafted the last, you know, several years, I wouldn't trust them with that top 10 pick, because we see how that's played out. And obviously they weren't, you know, super high picks, but if you have one knock on Kevin Pritchard and his tenure so far with the Pacers, it's been his drafting. Everything else has been, you know, he went out and got Malcolm Brogdon in free agency. It was a great pickup for the organization, considering guys like him usually don't sign with, you know, the Pacers. And then the trades he's made, I think, have also been excellent. So the only knock on him is his drafting. So that kind of scares me, is if we get a top 10 pick, is it really going to cash out?
Oh, I agree with you on that. I mean, all you got to do is go back to the go-go pick. My God, how's that worked out for us, boys?
Absolutely terrible.
Oh, terrible. I told you that night. You called me when we picked him.
We all knew it. We were all saying he was going to be bad. So yeah. You can't just act like that was just you that called that. Everybody in the world called that. He has not proven us wrong at all.
He's shit, and anybody who says he's not doesn't know basketball, or they just got something for go-go. I don't know. Yeah. But this is a chance. I mean, we saw Sumner. We've seen Sumner a little bit more here. Sumner's athletic as hell, but he couldn't throw it in the ocean from the beach. Do you see that one jumper that he shot last night? I thought it was going to break the rim.
That was really bad.
Oh, dude. I mean, that's terrible. I've seen better shots in fifth and sixth grade basketball games.
But I mean, yeah, he can get to the basket at will. He's quick on the floor. He's a good defender. I mean, he's got a lot of potential. But yeah, the shooting, I don't think that's going to ever be anywhere halfway decent. But I mean, he does a lot of good things out there when he gets minutes.
Yeah. And like I said, Holiday, I expected more out of him at this point, Aaron, not Justin. I mean, I think Justin pretty well, he plays within himself. Aaron tries to do too much a lot of the time and just ends up turning the ball over. And that pisses me off more than anything.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm ready to move on from him. He's a dime a dozen in the NBA too. I mean, how many Aaron Holidays have we had? DJ Augustine, he reminds me of him a little bit, except for DJ was bigger. You know what I mean? So he's nothing that you want to build around. You can't put him in the starting lineup. We've proved that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Cassius Stanley, is he going to be in the dunk contest or not?
Yes, he is.
Did I read before we got on here that there's only three people in the slam dunk contest?
I think so far there's only three that have accepted, so they're probably still looking for one more. I'm not sure. Maybe that is the case, because I know they announced some other things tonight. Sabonis is in the skills challenge, though.
What's that, Jax? My son just said there's only three. God, we have become such a bunch of pussies, man. Only three people in the slam dunk contest. Come on.
Yeah, I know Zion, Hawks boy Zion, he declined an invitation, so
Yeah.
But as I said, Sabonis is in the skills challenge. I think he did that last year.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was glad to see Sabonis got royally hosed on not just being selected to the All-Star team. That's shit. And I blame the Pacers as much as anybody else on that, because we were pushing three guys when in reality we only had one person that had a chance of being an All-Star, and it was Sabonis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear about Turner's window cleaning bullshit and whatever they had for Brogdon, his little thing there that Quinn and those guys were pushing during the games. Quinn's really been getting on my nerves, dude. I mean,
that's what happens when you're losing.
I like Quinnisms. Well, yeah. I mean, winning cures everything, but God, the constant. Oh, Miles Turner, he took it to the rim. Who gives a shit? Why don't he do it every time? He did it three times at the beginning of the game last night, and they was ready to endorse him as the next damn Bill Russell. You know what I mean? It drives me insane. I wish Quinn actually was on Twitter so I could tweet at Quinn. So
I believe he does have a Twitter account, but he never uses it.
He never uses it. And boys, I follow Alex Golden. I like Alex and those guys, and they're all just too damn positive right now. Everybody needs to snap into reality and realize this team is shit. Period.
No, I agree. I think there's a lot. There's way too much positivity for Pacers fandom from what I've seen. And then when you see people like being somewhat negative or critical, people jump on them. It's not the internet I grew accustomed to. It's not the internet I know and love. The internet I know and love is like a hateful, dark place. And for some reason, the Knicks are better than people want to give them credit. If you're not pissed off as a fan or refusing to watch the end of the games or motherfucking Miles Turner, something, like, something's wrong with your brain mentally. Like, you cannot just sit there and take it time and time again and say, yes, sir, may I have another? Like, there's got to be a breaking point. And for some people, there's not, I guess.
That's we've become a society of pussies, period. That's all there is to it, bud.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
Last thing here before we let you go that I do want to get your thoughts on we kind of talked about there's this bonus all-star selection. Wasn't originally selected an all-star, but ended up Kevin Durant sitting out the all-star game, so Sabonis is taking his spot. On Twitter, and we haven't talked about this yet, so Hawk can also speak to it as well. Nate Duncan, I don't even know where he's affiliated with. I know he does some league pass stuff, and he's got a podcast with John Hollinger, who used to work at ESPN, had a job with the Grizzlies there. These two guys are both are big analytics nerds. Duncan is notorious from last year when he said Sabonis was one of the worst all-stars in the last few years to be selected. And then Chris Denary went at him on Twitter, and he was like, well, we'll see how many all-star games he actually makes by the end of his career. So people are going back in on him because this is, you know, Sabonis' second all-star game he's been selected to. And Nate Duncan, you know, this past week is just in shambles again, tweeting out, you know, some Sabonis criticism. He just can't handle that Sabonis is an all-star and selected to the game once again. So your thoughts on those two, specifically Nate Duncan, I know you've seen it. What are your thoughts on this guy?
Nate Duncan is a tool bag, period. Anybody who's an analytics person is a tool bag. I've dealt with it all year. My son's basketball coach is a big analytics guy. And boys, I'm here to tell you, if it looks like shit and it smells like shit and it tastes like shit, it's shit. I don't give a damn what the numbers say. If it don't pass the eye test, it's shit. So I don't take anything that Nate Duncan or any of those other analytics dipshits take and say, I don't care. I don't care. If it don't pass the eye test, don't talk to me about it. So anybody out there in their right mind that can look at Sabonis's body of work and has watched him play and then come with some stupid analytics shit and say he's not deserving of an all-star is not a serious person. And frankly, they're just not that damn intelligent. So yeah, piss on Nate Duncan.
All I gotta say is your son's basketball coach has to hate you. There's no way in hell you have a good relationship with that guy.
My son's a senior, got his last game probably coming up Friday. My son soldiered through all the bullshit, and I haven't said anything to the coach this year. Kind of waiting for it all to get over with. But that's a whole different story. We can do a whole podcast on that, bud, because I got issues there real, real bad. But anybody who in the hell coaches based solely on analytics? Didn't that one dipshit in the World Series, didn't analytics say they should have took that one pitcher out and had that work for him?
Yeah, Blake Snell, and he hasn't relived it here. He's only relived it since, I should say.
Yeah, I mean, that's just one example, and I'm sure – there's hundreds. I mean, coaches at all levels now. I mean, I don't know if they're looking at analytics or they're getting on and watching YouTube videos from Europe. I know my son's coach, he likes to do that, and that's worked out real well for us. Did an inbound play the other night there, bud, where we were standing out of bounds under the basket, and then one of our other guys ran out of bounds, and we threw the ball to him. And if it would have been a good referee, it would have been called a turnover, because the dude that came in from inbounds to out of bounds didn't set himself. And, boy, I turned around, looked at the other parents in the stands, and I'm like, boy, he must have seen that shit on YouTube today, because I ain't never seen nothing like that. But we won the game, but even the sun shines on a dog's ass from time to time.
True that.
So.
All right. So before we let you go here, Debbie, any other things that you want to get off your chest before we let you out of here?
No, I think that'll about do it. Get with me in a couple more weeks after this next stretch we're going to have. We should talk in April.
Yeah. At April, beginning of April, that's not going to be a fun conversation, I have a feeling.
No.
Yeah. Nah. A shout out to Gingerbread Nick and Sobro Pacers fan and all those guys. I like their takes on Twitter and everything. And
you're talking about DeJuan right now.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
The horniest man on Twitter.
Hell yeah, he is, dude. I follow him. There's all kinds of crazy shit comes up on there. And that dude's married too, ain't he? How in the hell does that work out?
That's why he must not have Twitter. Yeah.
Yeah. He was asking about what kind of flowers and shit to plant in front of his house the other night. He's going to do some landscaping. I'm like, I'm a farmer. I can tell you what you want. We had a nice conversation. But yeah, I enjoy talking to all those guys.
He's in Atlanta, and when we started the podcast, he was one of the first people to reach out to us, and we have a good relationship with him like we do with you. And so he's texting a lot and messaging us a lot. It's just pretty cool that he's all the way down in Georgia, you know, big fan of the Pacers. And we've actually met him at a fan jam in person. So that was pretty neat as well.
Yeah, he's awesome. When all that crazy shit was going on in Atlanta, I'd hit him up on Twitter and check on him, see how they was all doing and get his take on what was going on when the riots and all that shit was happening. But they're good dudes, man. I enjoy interacting with everybody on Twitter and appreciate everything you guys do, and just happy to be a part of it, man. It's just too bad that the Pacers absolutely suck balls right now.
They'll be good again one day, hopefully.
We will be. As soon as we get rid of Turner, I think it'll turn around. Yep.
All right, folks. Well, there you have it. Jeremy W. Miller joining us here on the podcast this evening. Appreciate your time here tonight, Jeremy. And be sure to check out your takes over the next couple weeks in the month of March. I'm sure it's going to be electric.
All right, boys. Take care.
See you. All righty.
Bye.
BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action in 2021 and beyond. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. BetOnline even covers award shows, TV shows, and reality TV. That's huge for me as a Survivor fan, and season 41 coming out soon. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website and use our mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. 50% of whatever you put in, you get bonus. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Interrupt this part of the podcast to talk to you guys again about eBay sneakers, the number one place to go to buy and sell sneakers online. In partnership with eBay, Armchair Media will be raffling off 4 custom-made sneakers. Each purchase you can make before March 31st through ebay.com/sneakers will enter you in a drawing for a chance for 1 pair of Air Force One Low Tops. Just send a screenshot of your purchase to @ArmchairMedia on Twitter or Instagram, and you'll be entered into this raffle. ebay.com/sneakers.
All right. Well, we're back. That interview with Jeremy W. Miller is sponsored by Grizzly Long Cut Wintergreen Shawl. What can you say about that stuff, Hawk?
Grizzly long cut shawl. I mean, you can get it in fine cut. You can get it in pouches. You can get it dark. There's all different kinds. If you're looking to remove your bottom lip, it's the best way to start.
You know, and that's obviously fake. It seems like, you know, if you do an interview with Jeremy W. Miller, it's got to be sponsored by chewing tobacco.
Yeah.
And I don't even know if he chews. What I was going to say is, you remember when we first started the podcast, the fake ads we did?
Yes, they would just come to our head and we would just pop them down. And
the Elon Musk flamethrower. I specifically remember that one for some reason. All right.
Yes. Those audio files are long gone.
I believe I have them all on a USB.
Really?
Yeah. All right. Let's open this up here. We got Pacers mailbag time. Got some questions here from Twitter today. First question here is not really Pacers specific, but about a former Pacers employee. Lloyd Pierce was fired from the Atlanta Hawks. And so now Nate McMillan is stepping into the head coaching role for the remainder of the season. Question is, how many mid-range shots will Trae Young be taking for the rest of this year? But on a serious note, what are your thoughts on McMillan getting another chance? And I will say before you go into this, there was a quote on Twitter. Armchair Hawks had tagged us in it. They're pretty active with us on Twitter. And the quote from Nate McMillan already used the execute for 48 minutes in it. So he's already said that before even coaching a game. So what are your thoughts on McMillan very shortly after getting fired from the Pacers? Now he gets another opportunity.
It'll be interesting to see, because if they make the playoffs right now, they're below us. I think they have 14 wins. We have 15 wins. They've played all their games, I believe. So they have a few more losses, but let's say we start sucking real bad. The Hornets, let's say they make the playoffs and make a little noise. I could see him keeping that job, which would be crazy with Trae Young. I don't think that's what you want with Trae Young, but time will tell. He's not a bad coach. I mean, he's a good, like, gap coach for a franchise. Like, he'd be good on the Knicks, I feel like, or a team that has needed it. Now that the Knicks are good, maybe not. But, you know, it was only a matter of time before he got an opportunity. And there's so many former Pacers coaches that go on to do better things, and it's hard to, and sucks to even say, but that's the truth. I don't think Nate's going to win a title anywhere. That would shock me to no end, but at the same time, I could see him having success if they rehire him, if they make the playoffs. But that could be a long shot. So I'm happy for the guy. I have no real ill will. He just really wasn't the guy we wanted.
Yeah, I mean, Lloyd Pierce definitely underachieves. I'm not saying the moves they made this offseason should have catapulted them. I said from the beginning, I thought the Hawks were, you know, overrated going into the season. And, you know, the roster construction, it's just a weird mix of young guys and veteran players. I think they added, you know, a few guys that were, you know, over the hill. They added Rondo, Gallinari, you know, he's still pretty decent, but still he's getting up there in age. Bogdan Bogdanović, we haven't even seen much of him. So no. I don't know. I kind of disagree. I don't know if McMillan's in a good position here, specifically because, you know, if you're the Hawks, you want to get the most out of your young players on this roster. You want Trae Young to keep blooming. DeAndre Hunter, you know, you got Cam Reddish, John Collins, who may not be with the team again next year. Yeah, Kevin Huerter. So you got a lot of young guys that you're trying to get the most out of, and that's not what McMillan does. He will coach this team to regular season success. You know, he'll get them some wins when they're not supposed to win. But as far as development goes, these young guys, I feel like they're going to take a big hit going forward with McMillan as the head coach, just because, you know, just look at his track record. It's just something that we don't see much of.
Yeah, but with that roster, I don't know if he's got to play the young guys. It's not like those guys aren't going to play. So I just think if they make the playoffs, I could see a scenario where maybe they re-sign him. But at the same time, I don't expect them to make the playoffs. So it'll be – he's got a nice long window here till the end of the season. I don't think they're going to fire two coaches. So time will tell.
Yeah, and just imagine that conversation between him and Trae Young, where he tells Trae Young that he's going to have to start playing defense.
Right.
That will be a fun conversation. So, all right, next question here. We kind of talked about this a little bit with W, but about Kevin Pritchard, but the question is, with the way the Pacers are currently playing during this stretch, upcoming games on the schedule, do you think that Kevin Pritchard is on the hot seat?
Yes. I mean, you can't miss the playoffs after making the playoffs however many straight years in a new head coach with the same roster and not be on the hot seat. There's no way he's going to be fired, but if he puts two seasons like this together, I would 100% expect him to make a change there. But hot seat, yes.
Yeah, I don't – if you're talking hot seat, you know, for the current year, it's – the burner is maybe on like a 2 out of 10. You're not on maximum, you know, hot speed, hot on the burner yet. We're on like a solid 2 right now, maybe a 3 or 4, however this month plays out. But Kevin Pritchard is not getting fired this year. He will be back next season. And it's like I said, I'm not coming at Kevin Pritchard as much as Jake does. Jake is, he's going at him very hard. And I understand his gripes, but Pritchard's also done a lot of good so far. He kind of inherited a bad situation and, you know, for a couple of years made the most out of it. And obviously now's the time when we need to see him actually catapult this team, you know, in the upper echelon in the Eastern Conference. So yeah, he's not on the hot seat this year, but if the Pacers do miss the playoffs and then have another underwhelming season next year where they, let's say, get swept in the first round or don't make the playoffs, then I think that goes up to a 9 or a 10 and I think he's gone.
Yeah. It's literally just the drafting. Like, he made a coaching change at the right time, I thought, even though he screwed up and gave them the extension, which I thought was dumb in the moment. And then what, a month later fired him. But other than that, it's literally just the drafting. So whatever you're doing draft-wise, whoever's in your ear, change it because it's not working. And that's literally the only gripe any fan could have, because the trades you've made, the trades he's made in the moment and, you know, maybe the year after, people have really enjoyed the trade, agreed with the trade. It's literally just the drafting.
Yeah, and I think contract-wise, I mean, he's done a really good job. Brogdon, you know, you could say at the time it was a little bit of an overpay, but I think $20 million for him, solid. You know, Sabonis is only making $19 million for the next 3 or 4 years. Miles Turner, you know, he's making $17 or $18 million. We, you know, obviously there's gripes with him, but I still think that's a decent contract.
Yeah.
So there's, you know, contract-wise, I think he's done a good job. He hasn't got this team and, you know, financially tied up for the next several years. But, you know, if he doesn't, you know, it's time for him. And I think he knows he's getting to that point in time where, you know, he's got to take a shit or he's got to get off the pot, you know, specifically with these two bigs. So
yeah,
well, I don't think that it happens this year. If there's a deal, that's something in the summer. But, you know, to answer the question, kind of going off, you know, just spurling all over the place right now, but to answer that specific question, no, I do not think he's on the hot seat right now. All right. Next question here. Jake Light, third member of the podcast team here. He's been on a lot more active on the Twitter account here recently. You know, just a lot of negativity is not only being put through on the podcast waves, but now he's made it onto Twitter, which is just, I got on there last night. And I mean, I'll be honest, like there's notification after notification, people just in the mentions, like complaining at him. So I knew he had tweeted some dumb shit, which he obviously did. And so people were going in on him. You know, the follower account, I checked that, the followers have went down, you know, the last two games where he's been tweeting. So he's lost us some followers with some of the shit takes. And this take wasn't necessarily bad, but in the moment, you know, he probably could have phrased whatever he said, you know, better. But the question here is, this was a question I sent in just because I wanted to talk about it, but, you know, he went on a Twitter rampage last night, game 4, and he went after Goga Batadze, which, yeah, you know, to some people, they did not appreciate that. So do you think that his criticism of Goga in that game, in the moment, what he said, do you think it's justified?
Do you have the receipts? Because I was loving the Goga hate, because anybody that comes at us for hating Goga, it's like, dude, what are you? Like, one, we're kind of kidding. Like, we all hope he gets better and is useful, but he literally has not been. And anybody who disagrees with that is the dumbest person alive. So what did he say?
I think his tweet was just something to the effect of Goga is not good at all.
Dude, I agree. Like, out of all the things you can say that Jake might have lost us some followers, that is not one of the reasons. And if that is, we don't want those followers anyway.
Yeah, he's don't necessarily disagree with the tweet. He's just, his Twitter game, you know, even following his personal account, you know, the stuff he retweets and says on there, his Twitter game is like a 2 out of 10. It's not very strong. His argument backs, you know, he's not very good at arguing back. So he's a solid 2 out of 10 tweeter on his personal account. And it just is starting to reflect on our Twitter page now, as he's lost us, you know, a decent chunk of followers with some of the shit saying.
He's going to get mad at this for sure.
All right. So moving on here. If the Pacers cannot keep up in the playoff standings, do you think that they should look at tanking the rest of the season, trying to get healthy, and also trying to get after a top 10 draft pick?
To me, this is the perfect year to do it. 10 less games. The draft class looks relatively strong. The more college basketball I'm watching, the more guys I'm falling in love with. And we just said the GM and coach aren't really on the hot seat no matter what. So there's not really a better time to do it. There's three teams in the Eastern Conference alone that will never win a game against. I mean, the Bucks, the 76ers, and the Nets. I mean, those three teams, we can't win a game in a playoff game. And if I see us fully healthy, maybe I'll change that tune. But I don't think they ever would, because I think there's too much pride. I still think they're worried about losing fans. But at the same time, the capacity, it doesn't really matter if fans are going or not. It's the perfect time to do it, and I'm almost always against tanking. But there's a strong argument there, in my opinion.
Well, yeah, I mean, even look at last season. I mean, they got, you know, last season's probably a bad example because of everything that happened. And, you know, with the season getting pushed back. But they lost in the first round, you know, got swept. And the year before that as well, they were swept. So, and the year before that, they were swept. Holy shit, they've gotten swept 3 years in a row now. God. No, wait, no. 2 years in a row. Sorry, it's 2 years. Anyways, it's been 3 out of 4 years. Sorry. So anyways, I don't know where I was going with that. But anyways, if you look back on that year, you're like, wow, we really should have, you know, instead of, you know, after Oladipo got hurt, we should have just threw up the white flag and tanked and got a good draft pick. And so when you look back, you're like, we should have done this, we should have done that. And so now's the time to actually do it. And this team is not competing this season. And just think, if you can add a young player, you know, even with Pritchard's, you know, draft history thus far, you know, it is, you see very often that people screw up top 10 draft picks. I personally would do it. And it's not going to be an easy message to send to the locker room. So you have that aspect of it. There's not going to be guys that are going to want to mail it in. So I can see that. So what you really have to come down to is you can't make the decision today. You have to let this next month play out, see where we're at. We're not going to be 500 at the end of March. It's not happening. This team's going to be below 500, but how many games will they be below 500? If they're, you know, 10 plus games below 500 at the end of this month, that's when you probably have that conversation. You know, TJ Warren isn't coming back this year. Mm-hmm. Let's let him get back to full health. Let's sit him. Let's get DeMontis, you know, some rest. Let's get Malcolm some more rest. And I think at that point in time, that's probably when you had that conversation. And it's going to be a tough conversation because these guys aren't going to want to sit out and do things like that. But can you just imagine adding, you know, a top 10 caliber player to this roster, you know, a wing guy that we covet.
Cunningham. If Cade Cunningham joined the Pacers, I would be so happy. And with the new lottery like system that they implemented, you don't even have to be the worst team to get the number one pick. Like the number one pick the last couple of years, I don't think was the worst team. You just got to be relatively bad in the conversation. And, you know, the ping pong balls can fall your way more than they have 2 years. I think Zion was the first year they tampered with that. So I think they wanted to get him on a bigger market is why. But it's been like that since, where it's not exactly the worst team that gets the number one overall pick. So all you got to do is miss the playoffs. And I think this team, the way they're playing now, it's very likely that that could happen.
Yeah. And I mean, if you're in that outside part of the top 10, you know, at that point, it's really hard for you to catapult into the top 10, that 11 through 14 range. But if you're in that top 10, that specifically that top 7 or 8, you have a small chance, but you have a chance to actually, you know, jump up there and get that, you know, top 3 pick. I believe the Pelicans that one year, they weren't the worst team, but they jumped up into it.
Yeah.
Who had the number one pick last season? The Timberwolves. They weren't the worst team. So they jumped them up to it, I believe. So, yeah, I mean, you just got to get in that range. And I mean, the odds aren't in your favor, but it's definitely a conversation that needs to be had between the front office and coaches to look ahead at the future, because this season, you know, they might make the playoffs, but they're not going to go very far.
So the Colts have had several number one overall picks in my lifetime. Have the Pacers had number one overall picks in our lifetime? I can't think of any.
No, the highest pick they had was, you know, recent memory was number 2, and that was Rick Smets.
Yeah.
And since then, I believe the highest that they've been is number 5. They traded up, actually. So they didn't have this pick. They traded Antonio Davis to the Raptors for pick 5. I believe it was the 98 draft. And they selected Jonathan Bender.
So just having that a top 5 pick would be so exciting for a franchise that never gets it, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, Jonathan Bender wasn't a bad pick at the time. You know, he was Kevin Durant before Kevin Durant. Let's just be honest here. Injuries, you know, just plagued his career. So
absolutely,
that has nothing to do with the Pacers now. But that's just kind of potential that you have there at that pick. It is a guy like, you know, not like Jonathan Bender, but just a guy that, you know, you can bring in, maybe make a starter, solid player off the bench, and it'll be cheap. You know, because be a rookie deal for the next several years. So it definitely is a win-win there for the Pacers.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Which is more likely to happen? The Pacers trade for an all-NBA caliber player like a Bradley Beal, or they trade their own players to start tanking?
Say it again. Bradley Beal or trade players to tank?
So they trade a package together for an all-NBA type player, or they just mail it in and say, all right, we're going to tank Miles Turner. We're going to trade you for a couple picks. You know, TJ Warren, you're gone for a couple picks. That's a tough one, because I don't think that they would trade players to tank. But I also don't think they would trade. They wouldn't make a risky play like dealing a bunch of assets for Bradley Beal. So that's a tough question. But I'd probably say they would trade for an all-NBA player, even though I think the chances are, you know, 1% from a 0.5% from trading players to tank. So there's not much of a difference between the two. But if I had to pick, I'd say they trade for an all-NBA type player, because it's like you said, they don't want to tank and trade away, you know, these assets, because they don't want to lose fans. So
I'd say more likely, because there's a lot of role players on this team. So I think if you're in the front office and something happens where you only have to give up two of these role players and you get a superstar, I could see them just going with it and be like, all right, we're just going to keep rolling this. We got Sabonis. We got some of these guys under contract. We got Brogdon. There's still foundations. Maybe this could fix our problems. I could see them doing that way before they agree to a full tank and trading assets. But we'll see what March brings. If it's a bad March, maybe that changes.
And obviously, you have to have a player on board that you traded for in this situation. You have to have that player on board to want to come here. So Bradley Beal's got to want to come to Indiana for you to want to mortgage, you know, your roster and future draft picks to make that move. But yeah, Both sides win. So, like, the Pacers have the pieces and the draft capital to make a deal like that. Mm-hmm. Not saying that they could go out and get James Harden, but to get James Harden, a guy who, you know, is a top 10 player in this league and he's certainly turning into an MVP candidate with the way he's been playing as of late.
Yeah.
It took, let's just look at it. It took Caris LeVert, Jarrett Allen, a couple shit bags, and a bunch of first round picks for James Harden. I mean, the Pacers, you know, they definitely have solid core pieces that they could package together. Not saying they're going to go out and get James Harden, but they have solid core pieces. They have the draft capital where they could just be like, all right, we're going to go get Bradley Beal. You can pick, you know, out of these guys, you know, Sabonis you can't have him, but pick two or three of these guys. We'll give you three first round picks. Here you go.
All of our second round picks that we've accumulated, because we have a million of those.
Yeah. So it's like the Pacers are in a position to make a move like this.
And in years past, you didn't have these desirable assets like I think you do now. I think compared to like the last 3 or 4 years, you didn't have a LeVert, a Warren, you know, guys that actually other teams want. You know, the core guys you had that the other teams wanted, you weren't moving on. So that's definitely something to be said for there.
Yeah, and I mean, it's a risk. I mean, the Nets made a risk trading all that for, you know, James Harden. The Clippers made a risk trading all that for Paul George a couple of years ago, and so far it hasn't played out. But still, you have to make those types of deals to get a player of that caliber. And so the Pacers are in position to do it. I don't think they would pull the trigger on a move like that. But to say this roster isn't capable of making a deal like that for, you know, a top 15, 20 player in this league, that's asinine, because they have the resources to do so. All right. Last thing here. And this is just looking at this schedule that we've, you know, talked about so much this podcast. Then we'll let you guys go. It's a longer podcast than usual, since we didn't really want to recap the games recently because it's been so negative. And obviously, you know, being so negative, we didn't want to come on the shows right after, because it just was, you know, it's breaking us down. So obviously we had to start this show off with Jeremy W. Miller, who in him in itself, you know, that first part was very negative, but that's just what we expected there from old W. Looking at the schedule here, I'm going to go through each of these games and you're going to tell me win or loss just off the top of your head with no research. And you're going to tell me what the Pacers March schedule is going to be.
Got it.
And this will wrap up the show after this is done. But it's our final thing here. Pacers schedule in March, starting tomorrow on Wednesday at Cleveland. Is that a win or a loss?
I'm going to say win, because it's got to be. I can't see us losing, what, 5 straight or 4 straight? I'd say win.
All right. 1-0. Versus the Nuggets.
Loss.
All right. 1-1. At the Lakers.
Loss.
1-2. At Suns.
Loss. We're playing
1-3. At the Nuggets.
I'm just going to say win, because it's always, you're always going to get one that we didn't expect. So win.
2-3 there. To start the season off, first 5 games, Hawk has us 2-3. Next game versus the Nets.
Loss.
2-4. All right. So we have back-to-back games here. We're currently 2-4. At this point in time, you and I are going to be in Las Vegas, pretty hammered up, having a good time. Both of these games, I believe, are going on during that time frame.
Hell yeah.
Pacers are currently 2-4, and they have back-to-back games in Miami against the Heat.
I mean, recent history would say that's double losses. You know, like, I'll say split, just to be optimistic, but I mean, they swept us out of the playoffs last year, so I wouldn't be surprised.
All right, 3-5 currently on the month of March here. All right, at Milwaukee.
Loss.
3-6 versus Detroit.
At home?
Yes.
Win.
So 4-6. All right, at Dallas.
Loss. At Dallas is always tough for us.
4-7 at Washington.
Oh, who knows if Beal's there? Like, that's just I'll say loss.
4-8, and the final game of March against the Miami Heat.
Loss.
4-9.
4-9 with a win against Denver. Like, so that's.
And, And so that they're currently 15 and 18. So that would put them at 4-9. So 19 and 27 would be their record at the end of this month.
And that's bad. And what about those two games we missed? Are those going to be made up at any point, or is that just?
Yeah, so they're already on the schedule. Okay. Yeah, those are already on the schedule. I think the Suns one is actually one of them. And then the Spurs one, I believe, is in April or May. So yeah, that's I think if your prediction's right here, the Pacers go 4-9, that's when you start to have that conversation of, you know, is it time to, you know, mail it in? But also to be a little bit more positive here, Caris LeVert, you know, after that second game here we have coming up against the Nuggets in this month, Caris LeVert is said to be expected to return to the Pacers at some point this month. So, you know, they might keep losing games, but we'll at least have something else that we can watch and look forward to. So there's that.
Yep, definitely. That's the only thing I'm really looking forward to the rest of the year.
Yeah. So, all right, that's all I got. Anything else before from you before we close this up?
No, I can't think of anything.
All right. Yeah, I'm thinking, you know, next episode, you know, All-Star break coming up, we'll have, I think, some trade machine going on there. I know Jake definitely wanted to comment on that. He loves playing around with the trade machine.
Oh, yeah.
And then also, I think we give out our midseason awards. So we'll go through and pick our awards for the midseason for what's currently played out. So
that'll be interesting.
That'll wrap up this episode of the podcast. Hope you guys enjoyed it. And, you know, just stay afloat, you know, stay positive, you know, definitely, you know, from our tweets and our podcast, you know, definitely don't get like us, you know, stay positive about life. Yeah. If you go on Twitter, you see a Jake Light tweet from the Born Ready to Pod account. I mean, just stay positive, dude. I know it's tough to see the tweets that he sends out. You get such a negative vibe, but you just got to push through it. Don't let it bother you. Just let it go. Have a positive mindset on life, baby. That's all I got to say to end this show.
Yeah, you're bigger than your problems.
Yeah. All right. We'll talk to you guys later. Thanks for listening.
See ya.